Today I want to talk about something really, really interesting. I want to talk about the voices in your head. Now, we've been talking about choices. We all face choices, you know, all the time, all sorts of choices, and you want to make, who wants to make wise and godly choices? Yeah? I do too. But sometimes, how many of you know when you face a choice, you get those little voices in your head whispering in your ear or in your head somewhere, you know, they say, just do it. Or they say, no, stop, let's think this through. Or they say, come on, you know you want it. Do you get those voices? Am I the only one? No, clearly not. That's great. Competing, conflicting. Most of us have this constant flow of ideas and thoughts through our head. And it's very hard to pick out the important stuff from the noise, isn't it? How many of you know that? Like you hear stuff, you go, is that the Lord? Is that me? Is that the devil? I don't know. So Romans 8 verse 5 says this, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. How many of you would like a Spirit-filled mind? I would. Could you imagine if you were just totally in tune with the Lord in your mind, you wouldn't make dumb decisions. And I don't know about you, but I've made a few dumb decisions in my time. Am I the only one there? No, clearly not. That's wonderful. You know, have you ever walked through a show of some sort like the Ekka or the Nambour show? You ever walked through there, through Sideshow Alley? Who's ever been there? Who's ever spent more money than they wanted there? Yeah, you do. You know, you're walking through and you hear all these voices shouting at you. You experience that? You're just minding your own business. You're walking down the middle and all these voices are being shouted at you. Step right this way. $1 for two shots. Every player wins a prize. Every player wins a prize. You know, so they want you to pay $2 or $3 or $5, and if you, they'll give you a prize, it'd be a little dodgy 20-cent thing, you know, like, you know, but how many of you heard that? You've gone through there and all these voices are shouting at you. That so often is what it feels like to try and deal with the voices in your head. You don't know which game to play. You don't know who's telling the truth and who's lying. All these voices are shouting at you. They just shout louder and louder. This describes where most of us every day, adults and kids, have to think this through. Now, if you don't believe kids go through this, they really do. This was a fabulous movie that came out a while ago called Inside Out. It is the kids' movie that every adult should see, because what happens in this movie, it relates the little voices inside this little girl's head. And she has to deal with all of these conflicting voices and emotions, and they're these little characters. And up here we've got joy and sadness, anger, fear and disgust. And there's all these little characters that run around and they keep speaking to her and keep changing the way this little girl behaves. Can anybody relate to that? Yes, we can. So it might be a kid's movie, but we all grapple with these voices every day. Now, I've met adults whose lives are controlled by the same voices and emotions, these anger, fear, sadness, disgust, all that sort of stuff. And many of you know that when you face anything in your life, very often there are conflicting voices in your head. So please note, when I say voices in your head, I'm not accusing you of being schizophrenic. Okay, now some people hear voices in their head, they're very destructive. If that's you, you need to seek professional help. But the rest of us, you know, it's just what runs around in our head, isn't it? So mentally ill or not, we all hear voices, we do. And they seem to kind of compete for our attention. The question I want to ask you today, can we discern which ones are God, which ones are the devil, and which ones are just us? Because I believe we can. You see, it's your choices of voices. The voices in your head are from either of those three sources. They're either the Lord, the devil, or yourself. And sorting them out and figuring out which ones to listen to when you face a choice is really important. If you choose to listen to the right ones on this side, then you will find that your life will prosper and grow in the Lord. If you choose to listen to the other side, you will be tormented and maybe even have your entire life ruined. So these voices, they're pretty important, aren't they? The stakes are pretty high, but God is God and his ways are higher than your ways and his thoughts are higher than your thoughts and his ways are higher than your stakes. So, you know, really, we think a lot hinges on this, but if we could just hear God through the mess of noise, I believe our lives, we'd be making right choices. Am I right? Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Now, back in Deuteronomy, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. They had these two hills. One was barren and desolate. The other one was lush and green. And the people were told, I call heaven and earth as witness to you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life, that you and your offspring, your descendants might live. So the choices we make follow through to our descendants. And how many of you have seen, maybe in your own life, that the mistakes your mum or dad made are often repeated unless you break that cycle? There's a generational thing. You know, it's a scary thing as an adult to be going mad at your children and to stop and realize, I sound like my mum. That's a terrifying thought. You know, many of you said, I'm never going to be my mum. I'm never going to sound like my mum or my dad. And there you are, sounding exactly like they did. Scary stuff. We have a choice, though. We have life or death, blessings or cursings. And he says, choose life. In case you can't figure it out, choose life. That's our constant cry, choose life. However, all of us have voices in our head, and some of them are saying, choose death. Now, they don't say choose death, but they lead you to make choices which goes down a path towards death. The Bible says in Proverbs, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. The Bible says in Proverbs that the choices we make, you know, they may seem right to a man, but in the end they lead to death. We can't be relied upon to make all the right choices. We just can't. And make no mistake, we all of us have choices of voices to listen to. We have to figure out which ones are which. God, the devil, ourselves. So people often ask me, because I've done quite a bit of traveling in my time, what's it like to go to America or to go to Europe? Have you been over there? Many of you have. Some of you are from there. I describe America and Europe like this, particularly America. America is just like Australia with funny accents. And it's true, you go over there, there's all the same fast food joints, only more. You know, there's all the same stuff. They drive similar cars. They've got roads that look the same. They can't figure out which side of the road to be on. But everything else is more or less the same, just the funny accents. I say that to Americans and they laugh. They say, we haven't got an accent, you've got an accent. I say, really? Have you heard yourself? You know, you can hear these different accents, and the accents will often give away where the voice is from. When Otto speaks, I know where he's from. I just know. You know, when Jim speaks, I know where he's from. When he says, Goedemorgen, I know that's not my language or accent. So the question is, what are these voices and how can you pick them by their accent? So I want to go through this. This will kind of be fun, but it'll kind of be convicting as well because we all experience them. The first voice we're going to deal with is the voice of you. The I did it my way. That's what it's like when you hear your own voice. Frank Sinatra famously sang that. Remember him singing that? He's not singing anymore, you know, because when you do it your way, you don't do it right, inevitably. But that's the constant cry of our modern world. Have you noticed that? It's the accent of your own voice. It's all about you. We live in a world, you know, iPhones, iPods, I want what I want. Everything's got I in it these days. And so we live in a world where everybody is basically selfish. Is that true? They all think of themselves. This is probably the greatest example of this would have to be the selfie. This is a famous picture. Everyone's taking pictures of themselves and Hillary, not just Hillary. I love it. That is our generation right there. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish, do you? What do you have to teach a child to be? Selfless, to be considerate of others. Because being selfish, being self-centered kind of comes naturally, doesn't it? And it's the same in all of us. And nothing sums up our modern world like this, though. I love this, the phenomenon of the selfie. Never before in the history of mankind have so many photographs been taken by so many people doing so little. I mean, selfies are a plague. Yes. Sorry? Australia came up with them. Thank you, Australia. Good job. Because, you know, we love taking photographs. if you older ones, if you look back at a school photo from your early days, who do you look for first? Yourself. You do. And then you look at the girls you could have dated. Yeah, there you go. But how can you detect the voice of yourself to yourself in your head? What sort of accent does that voice use? Well, the accent is often rebellious, and it uses phrases like this. This is a hint. Uses phrases like this. They can't treat me that way. That's a self phrase. What right have they got to whatever? Or my personal favourite, how dare they say that to me? Have you ever said that? Someone says, a little voice that says, how dare they say that to me? See, the thing is, people like you and I are basically selfish. You don't have to teach your child to do wrong. You have to teach them to do right. But given free rein, our inner voice will always promote ourselves and our interests and our selfish desires. That's how you pick your own voice. The Bible puts it this way, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? That is a great summation of our hearts, isn't it? We are basically desperately wicked, I believe. And it's only the power of God that's in us that brings us goodness. That word wicked means sick. It's like we've got a disease in our hearts where all we think about is ourselves and our own rights. The voice of yourself can be neutralized by humility and selflessness. In Philippians 2 verses 3 to 4, it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So that verse is saying, if you think about other people, you can pretty much negate that voice in your head telling you it's all about you. I remember my daughter came in one day wearing a T-shirt, and the T-shirt said, it's all about me. And that's a this generation T-shirt, I'm telling you. And we sort of started to rib her about it. And then she turned up, she said, but Mum and Dad, in my world, it is all about me. Yeah, and that is absolutely true. But we're all like it. So if you face a choice and your inner voice is telling you to do it, and you, if you desperately, desperately want it, beware, because it's likely to be your voice and not God's voice, your agenda and not his agenda. The second possible, now this is the controversial one, the second possible voice is the devil. See, the devil is characterized, as I said the other week, by the Nike test. No offense to Nike, very nice shoes, but their motto is just do it. And that's what the devil says to you every time. God will always say count the cost, but the devil will always say just do it. He will say, buy now, pay later. If it feels good now, just do it. We'll sort it out later on. Just do it and we'll sort out the bill later. And I said a few weeks ago, if you saw a car that you liked, I thought, man, that's a nice car. I like that car. The salesman there is talking to you. He said, why don't you buy that car? Fantastic. How much does it cost? Don't worry about that. You can pay for it eventually. Just take the car now. Would you do it? Not a chance. You want to know how much you're going to finish up paying for this thing. Isn't that true? So we don't do it in that situation. We want to find out the cost in advance. But what the devil constantly says is just do it. See, the accent of demonic demons in your head is often the one of actions without consideration for the consequences. When you face a choice, any choice, the wisest move, if you take nothing else away from this whole series, the wisest move is to, when you face a choice, step back and take time. Because the longer you look at it, the more you will wisely see the consequences of that action. And we are terribly deceived in this. Galatians 6 verse 7 says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, he shall also reap. One who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh, reap corruption. But one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So whatever you do carries a consequence. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap more of it and later. That's how sowing works. Whatever you do carries a consequence, and the devil will always pressure you into acting without thinking through the consequences. Now, sometimes he's obvious, but other times he's not. This is the tricky thing. If it was always an obvious thing, we would say, okay, that's the devil, get away from me, no problem. But he's not like that. Beware, because often the enemy masks what he will say in innocent-sounding phrases. I want to talk about, just briefly, an interesting verse in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. It says this, "For even Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light." What does that mean? Church, you need to not picture the devil as an ugly little red guy with horns, because very often he's not. Very often he is a beautiful woman, an attractive man, telling you you deserve this, sounding very logical. He's dressed as an angel of light. He sneaks in, and you look at someone beautiful or someone nice, you know, or you hear this pleasant voice and you think, well, that can't be bad. You need to look at the content of the voice, not try and figure out if he's got horns or not. You know, the devil will speak into your, you know, you'll face certain choices in life. He'll speak into your life little things that say, just do it. And you'll sense, hear this little voice inside. Is that God? But he'll often be saying things like this. Oh, hey, it's just a little harmless flirting, a bit of fun. What harm can it do? Well, it can blow your marriage apart, your life apart. It could start unlimited misery and pain. You could sacrifice your whole family, lose your reputation and half your assets. That's the consequences. We don't think about that. It's just a little bit of fun. I'm just being a little flirty. Weigh the consequences and you will see the voice of the devil. He might come to you and say, it's just a little word, or just a little juicy tidbit of gossip. What harm can it do? You're just passing on the truth. What harm can it do? I've seen churches blown apart by gossip, by people who can't control their lips. It causes endless pain and misery. My company, you say, oh, it's a great deal. It's just a small deposit down. But soon it becomes a financial debt that drags your entire finances down and ruins your life. If you look at the amount of credit card debt we have in Australia, it is horrifying. And the average Australian family owes something, I believe, in the order of $30,000 to $40,000 in consumer debt. Now that stuff it doesn't appreciate, it gets worse. But we have this buy now, pay later sort of attitude, and very often in life that is the devil. Hosea 8 verse 7 says this, "For they sow the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind." And if you sow the wrong stuff, I guarantee you, you will reap the wrong stuff back in your life. So if you face a choice and a little voice says in your ear, just do it, beware of that voice. Before you decide anything, pray, step back, look at the potential long-term consequences of the decision. If you're honest, you might see things a little bit differently and save yourself a ton of heartache. The devil also masquerades. Remember I said the devil masquerades as an angel of light. He also masquerades as yourself. This is where it gets complicated. He will often take statements he wants to put in your life and turn it around so it sounds like you're saying them. Let me give you an example. He said in the first person, listen to this. Instead of saying you're useless, the voice will pop in your head, I'm useless. Instead of saying, you're not worth that, I'm worthless. And we think it's ourselves, but it's actually the devil masquerading as an angel of light. And please, 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 be aware of pseudo-Christianity that comes in and tells you, we've mentioned this the other week, I'm going to mention it again, God told me to tell you this. Because it happens, you know, a lot, and sometimes it is God. But just because someone says God told me to tell you doesn't guarantee that it's God. If you hear someone say that to you, you need to check it out. Go to scripture. Go to godly oversight. You know, really check it out, because people are throwing this stuff around and they can say one thing and send you on the path of destruction and they don't care. They think they've said the voice of God. Check every, if I say to you, if one of our team says it to you here, don't take it at face value. We are fallible. We are human. Take it to the Lord. Okay? Because you need to hear God's voice, not man's voice, and not the devil's voice in so-called prophetic words. And this is why we only permit in this church people we trust to lay hands on people and prophesy over them, people with a track record that we trust and honour. If you come forward at any time, if one of our prayer team prays for you, they are people that we that have proven themselves and have proven to be godly, honourable people, and we trust the words that they pray over people. We don't allow folks, if you're new here, to walk in off the street and start laying hands on people and pray. Why? Because I don't know who you are. And our people here are too valuable to risk someone coming in just shouting stuff over their lives. Do I hear an amen? It's really important that we manage this properly. It's too dangerous. And we don't know who you are. So in the end, any prophetic word spoken over you must be weighed up in the light of Scripture. So that's the second one that's the devil. Let me tell you the third, which is the voice of God, loving and leading. But so many of us are like this. Is that you? I was joking with someone a while ago. We were down in down in Brisbane, and we were talking about the voice of God. And I said, you know, I went to a church in Sydney, and they had a little gold phone in the corner, and it said direct line to God, $10 a minute. I thought, well, that's pretty steep, but if you can talk to God, that's not too bad. Then I went to Brisbane, and Brisbane had same gold phone in the corner, direct line to God, $2 a minute. So well, that's a little better. When I came to the coast, it said direct line to God free because it's a local call. We live in God's country. What can I say? So if you learn what the Lord's voice sounds like, you can let him lead you. But often the voice of God is drowned out by all the other voices in your head shouting for attention. That's why the Lord said in Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Yeah, how many of you need to hear that today? Be still. God spoke to me during the week on this. I have that much stuff running around in my head, I'm afraid it'll fall out my ears. It's just packed in there at times. And it's very hard, very hard for me to get away and try and clear my head so that it's still. I don't do still very well. Does anybody here not do still well? I thought there'd be a few. But the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Why? Because that's where you hear the voice of God, away from the clutter and all the other voices yelling at you. So to help you understand what the voice of God sounds like, I want to give you seven characteristics of God's voice. Number one, it's according to his word. God will never contradict his word, never. But here's the thing. If you never read his word, how are you going to know? How many of you know that so many things that you think you know aren't right when you get back to Scripture? I wish I had a dollar for every time someone came to me and said, even on television, money's the root of all evil. Is that what the Bible says? No, it says what? The love of money is the root of all. Money's not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. So that's the thing. You know, you've got to get back to Scripture. And if you don't read Scripture, you simply will not recognize his voice. If you don't know his word, you won't know his will. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God judges our hearts, doesn't it? So whatever happens in this church, we are going to come back to the word of God. I am not going to stand up here and say, I know the Bible says this, but God's given me a new revelation. If I do, yeah, stone me. No, don't stone me. That's probably a bit extreme. But, you know, tell me I'm wrong, because it's got to be in the Word of God. You know? Before I make any decision in my life, I ask the Lord for guidance from his Word. That's what I ask for. And because I'm reading his Word every day, he has ample opportunity to speak into my life. All of the big decisions in our life as a family, all of the big decisions in this church have come as a result of scriptural confirmation. Even if the idea is there, Scripture confirms it. Does that make sense? Because God's voice always aligns with God's word. So if you hear a little voice in your head saying, leave your husband and wife and go with someone else, it's not going to be God. If you hear a little voice in your head that says, go and rob a bank, it won't be God, because that will be contravening the written word of God. The second thing is, it's a still small voice. 1 Kings 19. I love 1 Kings 19. You know, Elijah's there. He's trying to find the voice of God. He's in this cave. And this is what it says, verse 11. And a great and powerful wind tore apart the mountains and broke the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake. Sound effects supplied by me. They're not actually in the Bible. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. A low whisper. Guess where God was? He's in that still small voice. See, God doesn't shout. He doesn't demand. He doesn't scream at you. He doesn't compete with other voices. If you seek him and listen, you will soon understand his quiet but profoundly powerful voice. His voice is gentle. Even if he has to bring conviction or correction to your life, it is still gentle. Frankly, we do not get alone and we do not get silent before the Lord very often. Am I right? We really need to do that. There is so much noise, so many competing voices in this world. We must prioritize and make time to be alone with God, to be silent and listening. It's a skill you need to develop. And when you do practice getting quiet before the Lord, you will start to hear his voice more because he won't shout over the other stuff. The third thing is his voice will say, count the cost. Luke 14:28 says, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? See, God has a long-term vision. So when you make a decision, he will ask you to step back and count the cost. He will not pressure you to make a snap decision, but to have a look at the entire picture. Every choice carries with it consequences. So when you hear God, you generally do so with your eyes wide open. Even if you cannot see the end game. When you're listening to God, you may not see the end, but you have an idea of the consequences of your actions. See, God's voice leads to well thought out decisions. When we talk about faith, we're not talking about blind leaps. We're talking about well informed, well thought out decisions. Still there is faith, but God speaks to you about the consequences. The fourth thing is, this is a really important one. God's voice builds you up. It always encourages you and blesses you, even if he's correcting you. His voice is, even the voice of conviction is not condemnation. So the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So even if he needs to bring correction to your life, he's going to do it in an encouraging way. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says this, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. We sang eagles' wings earlier. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Why? Because God speaks words of encouragement and life into us. So when you face a decision, don't rush in. Step back. Take your time. Wait for the voice of God because that's what will build you up and will bless you and others around you. His desire is to prosper you and not to harm you. God is not out to ruin your fun. People say, I don't want to become a Christian because he'll ruin my fun. It's not fun. You don't know what fun is until you become a Christian. That's awesome. I wouldn't swap it. I'm having more fun than anybody else around here, I think. Why not? But it's you know, he wants to build you up and bless you. He doesn't want to curse you. Number five. God's voice is pure and lovely. Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything of excellence or worthy of praise, think about such things. You see, God's voice, even if it's not what you want to hear, even if it's a difficult word, God's voice will always be pure and lovely. It will never be dirty, crass, sleazy, or anything other than pure. Because he is purity. The sixth thing is God's voice requires obedience. See, make no mistake, God will not speak to you if you do not obey. He doesn't want to waste his time or yours. If you don't obey, he ain't speaking to you, I'm telling you. He won't waste his time. You probably want to make right decisions. You probably want to move towards the wonderful destiny that the Lord has for you. But why should he show you the next step and the next step if you won't be obedient to the first one? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what love is. Love is obedience. It's an act of the will and it's obedience. If I say I love Jesus, I just don't want to act like a Christian, then I don't love Jesus. Because to love him is to obey him. Does that make sense? Don't think being religious is being Christian. Please don't think that. Don't think going to church or saying grace before you eat or something makes you a believer, because that's not the love that he requires. That's just religion. Plenty of people have, you know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Doesn't work that way. Just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. Being a Christian is being a Christ's one, being obedient to him. And as you are obedient to him, he will begin to open your future up. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, this is one of the scariest verses in the Bible. It terrifies me. Because, you know, we do so many stuff. We get religious. We do stuff in a certain way, in a certain order. We get hung up on the way things are done. But that verse there in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, is when Saul did all this religious stuff and Samuel came to him and said, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice." To obey is better than you doing all this stuff for the Lord and giving stuff to the Lord and going to church. Just be obedient. And if you are, you'll find he'll then open the next step and the next step, and he'll be leading you on. Obedience to the voice of God is a surefire way of growing into your destiny, because love equals obedience. Number 7 is it bears good fruit. Matthew 7 verse 16 says this. Jesus says, "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs or thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but a diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." And I believe that you can recognize the voice of God oftentimes in hindsight. Hindsight's 20/20 vision. You look back, you step out in obedience, and as you look back, you realize what God was doing, you know? Sometimes you don't know ahead, but you know going back. But long term, there needs to be fruit. If you believe God's told you something and the fruit's bad, go back to him and ask again. Because if you follow the Lord, the fruit will be good. Now, what do I mean by that? Does that mean you're going to have lots of money and be awesome and good looking and everything? No. It's fruit in your life, the fruit of the Spirit. And so let me give you an example. Over time, you learn to listen to the voice of God over the devil, and you'll see that the fruit, the good fruit, confirms that you've heard God's voice and obeyed. So this is a typical example that I've come in contact with a number of times. I've had people come to me and say, "God's told me to leave your church." And I say, "Well, you know, if that's what God said, I'm not going to stand in the way of God. If that's what the Lord said to you, so be it. God bless you. We release you. You know, follow your destiny." And it's sad sometimes when that happened. But many of the people who've said that have left church, and some months, even years down the road, they don't go to church anywhere. They're lonely, displaced, they're struggling with depression. They've left a spiritual home where people loved and supported them, and they reap what they've sown. Is that fruitful? No, it's not. So you can tell fruit further down the track. The problem is you can't tell it in advance. So let me finish up with this, the way ahead. We've talked about the three different sources of voices in your head. Now you can discern the difference, hopefully. Let me go over those again. Yourself, it's all about you. It's what you want. Beware if you desire it more than anything else. The second one is the devil. If he says, "Just do it now, do it quick, do it now, don't worry about the consequences," it's pretty much never God. It's pretty much always the devil. And the third one is the Lord, who asks you to step back, listen, be obedient. It lines up with his word, and you can move forward with confidence. So what do you do from here? Let's assume you can hear God's voice in all the din and all the mess. Which way do you go? Number one, you need to be obedient. When you make choices, I said it before, you know what God is asking. Make sure you are obedient. Even when we know God's will, how many of you are like this? Even when you know God's will and you're pretty sure about it, you kind of usurp God's will with human logic. Have you ever done that? Yes, I have. I know God said to do it this way, but that doesn't seem logical to me. I think I'll do it this way. Come on. We've all been there at some point. Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6. I love this verse too. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, be obedient and not lean on our own understanding. We are sometimes like, you know, you get on the internet and you're researching something. I was talking with Bella yesterday about researching. She's a great researcher and researches everything. But many of us, if we're going to buy a product, we do so much research, we finish up doing nothing. Because we're overwhelmed by information in our modern day and age. It's called paralysis by analysis. Oh, wow. I just, you know, and we can do that sometimes. Sometimes you've got to be obedient and not sort of try and logic it through all the time. Just trust God. The second thing is to be alert. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says this, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. If you decide to listen to the voice of God and make the choice he wants, let me tell you, the devil is really mad about it. He hates it when you're obedient to the Lord. He hates it. So what he will do is anything he possibly can to thwart your obedience to the Lord. So when facing choices and listening to the voices, be on guard against the devil and your own desires. Be on guard. Be wary. Because even when you know you're going the right way and you go down God's way, still this little voice is there saying, did he really say don't eat from that tree? How many of you know that? You know you're going God's way, but that little voice is just nagging you in the background like a dripping tap. You know, just working its way away. The enemy is out to fool you. He's out to lead you the wrong way. So test everything so you can be confident and sure you're hearing and obeying the voice of God. The third thing is to be aware. Now, being alert to all of these voices is one thing, but be aware. Because very often it's the little compromises that get you in trouble. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 15 says this, catch the little foxes that spoil the vineyards. And it's the little things that get you. How many of you know that? It's the little things that get you in trouble every time. It's generally not big things. Take a typical example. If someone comes to a man, say a woman comes to a man in the workplace and says, will you have an affair with me? He's likely to say no. But that doesn't happen, does it? It just happens a little flirt here, a little touch here, a few little words here. And before they know it, they're compromised into it. That's what happens. The little foxes spoil the vine. So be obedient in the little decisions. And you'll find that discerning God's voice in the big decisions becomes a lot easier. So watch those little foxes. Watch the TV shows or movies you watch. Watch words you say to someone who has hurt you. Watch what you think when you see someone that has something that you would like. That's only, you know, how many of you see something that's nice and you go, oh, I wish I had that? It's a little fox. It's only a little comment. Can't hurt anybody, can it? Yes, it can. It's the little foxes that grow into big ones and spoil everything. The fourth one is to be proactive. When you discern that a voice is not God, I mean, think about it. These voices are constantly in our head. Now, even if you're going the right way and you're hearing from the Lord, the voice still pops in your head, doesn't it? Is it only me? No, good. You know you do, and this little voice is nagging, maybe it's not the right way. And you've got this voice in your head. So what does the Bible say to do about it? Don't put your hands over your ears. Don't put your head in the sand. Don't go, la, 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 I can't hear you. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says this, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that raises up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We need to take those thoughts and be proactive about it. Don't entertain them. Don't lay a place at the table for them. They're going to follow you around like crazy. If you entertain them, they are going to follow you around like crazy. I remember one time Fiona and I visited, I think it was Mexico, and there were all these little kids coming out, you know, with little flowers and they wanted money and they were begging kids and that sort of stuff. And of course, we were green as grass. We went, oh, look, look at them, they're so poor. So we just gave a little bit of money to one. Well, that was it. There was thousands of them. We had a pack following us around, you know. don't give a little bit to these voices. You need to take them captive and treat them ruthlessly. Capture those voices ruthlessly and say, voice, whether it's you or whether it's the devil, I reject you in Jesus' name. I cast you away in Jesus' name. Whatever you tolerate the wrong voice, you give it power. So don't flirt with it, don't overlook it, and do not tolerate it. Capture it and banish it from your mind. So let me finish with this. You can hear God's voice. Do you believe you can hear God's voice? One of the great travesties of church through the ages is people believing that only one guy got to hear God's voice. It's not true. We are all priests. God can speak to you as much as he can speak to me or our intercessors or anybody else. So if you want to hear God's voice, here's a couple of things for you. I just want to finish with these. Number one is Fiona and I are working on a course. She's working on a course in particular on how to hear God's voice. There are steps you can take. Who would like to learn that? How to hear God's voice. We want to run a workshop so that you can get to the end of that and say, I know that I'm hearing God's voice. And there are keys that we can share on this. We're preparing that now for later in the year. But the second thing is this. John 10, verse 27, Jesus speaking says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. A Middle Eastern shepherd does not drive the sheep. He doesn't get behind with a whip and crack and push them along. He doesn't herd them. He doesn't get on his horse and run behind them. And have you tried to herd sheep? It's ridiculous. Don't do it. Trust me. I've tried. It's just the stupidest thing ever. There's a gate. Go through the gate. And they're all at the gate. Go through the gate. Go through. And in the end, one goes through. Then they all want to go through at the same time. But see, a Middle Eastern shepherd doesn't drive his flock. What does he do? He calls and they follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. Making the right choice is easy when you clearly hear the voice of God. You ever been in a room with 10 crying children and a mum comes in and says, that's mine? Mums know, don't they? They can tell the voice of their children. Dads go in and say, man, that's terrible. How do you switch this thing off? But mums go in and they know the voice of their children. And his sheep know his voice. When you recognize his voice, it builds your faith when you follow it. In order to recognize his voice, you need the Bible. This is why I've got the Bible reading plan. I know I harp on about it. It's because I'm an angel. I harp on about it. But it's really important. Get the Word of God into you and you'll start hearing God's voice. I promise you. But read his Bible, come to church, get familiar with his still small voice. You know, we can do things to hear God's voice right now and to be sure that we're hearing God's voice. Today I want to pray with those of you who struggle with this, because I know many of us do, in hearing God's voice. So would you bow your head in prayer? I want you to take a few moments and just clear your mind out of all the clutter and the junk that is fed to it every single day. Just lay it all aside. Just put it aside and just be silent for a few moments before the Lord. Just be silent and listen to him. Open your heart, listen.